Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45.
Guests here this morning, we welcome you here. My name is Pastor Matt Brown, and I'm the pastor here at First Baptist, and we wanted to welcome each of you, whether you're a member here for a long time, a guest, or a regular attender. We welcome you this morning. Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And this morning we will be in verses 1 through 11 as we look at the story of Mary anointing the feet of Jesus. So John chapter 12, and we're in verses 1 through 11. I won't read it since Dave read most of it already earlier. But I want you to think about two people. So one person is extremely devoted to sports. It could even be a hobby. Maybe they're a huge fan of the Steelers, or maybe they love hunting, or they love reading. So they follow every Steelers game. They have all this Steelers gear. They absolutely love to talk about anything football or Steelers. Or maybe it's hunting, or maybe it's reading, and they have all the equipment or all the books that they need, and they do it as often as possible. They could tell you every little detail about their hobby. They spend lots of time. They spend lots of energy. They spend lots of focus on this sport or hobby or reading, whatever it may be. And in our culture, how do people view someone like this? Most often, they're seen as simply, they're very enthusiastic. They're very passionate about what they love. And usually people don't look down upon this someone because they're very excited about their hobby. But now let's think about the other person. The other person is extremely devoted to Christ. This person goes to every church service. They pray often. They read the Bible a lot. They read Christian books a lot. They talk to people about their faith all the time. It could be the grocery store. It could be the workplace, wherever. This person loves to talk about Christ. They love to talk about their faith, the Bible. But how does our culture typically view this person? Typically as a religious nut. They view this person as going overboard in their devotion, and they're often looked down upon. Like, do they really need to be that enthusiastic about church? That's because in our world, devotion to sports or a hobby is enthusiasm, while devotion to Christ is fanaticism. They consider devotion to a sport or a hobby as not a waste of time. But a life devoted to Christ is a life wasted in their mind. And it's a sad reality, but reality nonetheless, that this kind of thinking has infiltrated the church. I've heard of Christians who, when they've met an unsaved person and the unsaved person finds out that they're a Christian, the Christian feels compelled to stress the fact that, yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm not that into my faith. I'm not one of those extreme ones. And do you know why there are so many Christians not truly committed to their faith? Do you know why there are so many Christians who show up here and there to church, but they don't get involved and they don't let it affect their lives? One of the reasons is because being that kind of Christian is the best of both worlds. They get to appease the Christians because, you know, they're showing up here and there. They get to appease their conscience because they're doing these things out of duty. And they get to appease the unsaved person because they're not that extreme. Consider how many Christians like to section off their faith from their day-to-day life. So my Christianity is just simply something I do on a Sunday morning, but it doesn't affect much else. Consider how many Christians can get up at 5 in the morning to go Black Friday shopping. They can get up at the crazy hours in the morning and go hunting, but they cannot get up and go to Sunday school at 9:30 in the morning. The truth is, you will do what you truly want to do. You will make time for what matters to you. If you're devoted to something, you're going to rearrange your priorities. If you really want to go to that Steelers game, you're going to go. Your priorities change, your focus changes, your energy changes. And I would go so far to say that there are too many Christians not truly devoted to Christ. Now, of course, there is a place for hobbies. There's a place for sports. Many of you know I'm a Packers fan, really. And I was disappointed last week, of course. But, of course, I have my own hobbies and I love sports and things like that. But I'm afraid that often our devotion for those things has overtaken our devotion to Christ. And this morning I want to show you what true devotion to Christ looks like, how we can be more devoted, and also that our devotion is not wasted. So before I bring out some points, let's just briefly go through the story. So the resurrection of Lazarus has happened. If you remember last week, the Jewish council has determined to kill Jesus. And now Jesus goes back to Bethany after a short stay in Ephraim. And we find that it's 6 days before Passover. And the family of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they have this dinner for Jesus. And it's most likely this dinner that is thanking him for raising their brother Lazarus. And Lazarus is there. He's reclining at the table. And Martha is serving, as she's often portrayed in the Gospels, serving. And Mary is in her spot, as she's portrayed, at the feet of Jesus. And she comes in with this expensive ointment. And she anoints the feet of Jesus, and she wipes his feet with her hair. And this ointment was very pricey. We find out it was worth about 1 year's wages. So really get your mind around that. So like that's a, if our day, I don't know, I'm just $20,000 to $40,000. It's a lot of money. It's an expensive ointment, right? And she uses it on his feet. And we find that she brought a lot of it. So not just this small amount, not like a couple drops, but she brought a pound, and this is actually a Roman pound, so 11 to 12 ounces, but still, it's a good amount of it. That's a valuable ointment to be used on one person. The fragrance fills the room, and Judas speaks up, and he pretty much calls her act a waste of money that could be better used on the poor. But of course, as we know Judas, he really wasn't caring about the poor, right? He was caring about himself, as we find out he's a thief, and he would often steal out of the disciples' money bag. So in his mind, it's like, sell that so I can have more money, right? And Jesus responds to him and explains that the poor are always there, but he isn't. Of course, Jesus is not saying that we should never give to the poor. In fact, what his answer shows us is that we should be giving to the poor because he says they're always there to give to. But in this instance, we find that Mary, what she did was timely. What she did was appropriate because of who she did it for, and also because of his impending death. So our primary devotion is to Jesus, who is worthy of this such act that Mary did. And actually, as you think about it, our helping of the poor is an expression of our devotion to Jesus. So in his response to Judas, he also explains that Mary has kept this ointment for the day of his burial. This verse is a little tricky, but I believe He's saying that she has kept this ointment, so she hasn't sold it in the past, but she has kept it for this day, for this purpose, and the purpose is in preparation for his death. So Jesus regarded what she did as preparation for his burial, as at times people would anoint a person, a dead person's body so that it wouldn't smell. An anointing was usually this sign of bestowing honor upon someone and praise upon someone. It symbolized the anointing of royalty. And Jesus is showing us that, yes, he is the king, he is the anointed one, but this king must die. You see, it's in his death, it's in his burial and resurrection that he shows the world that he is truly the King of Kings. Through what he does. And then, of course, this passage concludes in verses 9 through 11 with telling us this large crowd. They find out about Jesus, where he's at, and of course they all go towards him. But not only to see him, but to see Lazarus, who was the one raised from the dead. So if you remember, everyone heard about, man, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was dead and now he's alive. So they're like, oh, I want to see Lazarus too, right? I want to see the guy who was dead. And possibly they asked him all these questions, like, what was it like? And things like that. But they wanted to see him. So because of all this commotion and popularity, we find the chief priests, they wanted to kill Jesus, but now they're like, let's kill Lazarus too, because he's leading so many people to believe in Christ. And so if you really think about it, the chief priests, they want to kill the one who was miraculously raised from the dead. That's pretty cruel, right? Their hatred and their devotion to kill is contrasted with Mary's love and devotion to Jesus. You see this just big contrast between the two. So that's a very short summary of our text. So let me bring out some points this text shows us that we can apply to our lives. And so the first is our devotion comes from seeing Christ's worth. Our devotion comes from seeing Christ's worth. So Mary used this very expensive ointment on his feet. She wiped his feet with her hair. What led Mary to such an extravagant and humble act? She knew Christ and she knew his worth. Her mindset is this: he deserves this. He is worthy of this. You see, she didn't have this shallow knowledge of Christ. If you think about Judas, he knew Christ personally. But of course, his knowledge was very shallow. No, she had a deep knowledge of Jesus Christ, of who he really was. And when she saw this ointment, she didn't just think of it as valuable for money, but she saw it as valuable because of how it could express how valuable Christ was to her. No matter the cost, no matter the human humiliation, no matter the criticism, she was going to do this for her Lord. And it shows us that our devotion comes from seeing Christ's worth. And if your devotion to Jesus is lacking, look no further than your view of him. For if you have a small view of Christ, your devotion to him will be minimal. Your devotion to him will be done out of duty or guilt. Let's say that you don't go to Christ for everything in prayer. Why not? Because we often think that he can't help me. I got to control this. That's a small view of Christ. Let's say that you section off your faith to just a very small part of your life. Like, you know, you don't go to many church services at all. You don't serve at all. Why do you do this? Because Jesus isn't everything to you. Other stuff is. You have a low view of your Savior. He's not worthy of my time. He's not worthy of my money, my energy, my focus. Why do I need to be here more often? Why do I need to serve? What do I get out of it? What good will do me? Your faith has just become this item be checked off rather than a life lived in devotion to the all-worthy Lord of the universe. Imagine if Mary had this small view of Christ. She would have never gave up this costly ointment. She would have never done this pleasing offering to the Lord. She would have never, never wiped his feet with her hair. But because she saw Christ's worth, now her devotion to Christ is a prime example of discipleship to all of us for all of history. Think of Judas. He had a low view of Christ. He was extremely low. He didn't think Christ deserved this act. That's why he said, "This is a waste." And if you have a low view of Christ, you will see devotion to Jesus expressed in service and commitment and time and money, energy and focus as a waste of those things. May we see Christ's worth. May we see Him in all of His glory. May we see Him for who He truly is. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings. He is the light of the world, the Word who became flesh, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Prince of Peace, and He is the great I Am. This is the person we serve. This is the person that we are devoted to. This is the person who has saved us. And yet what we give to Him is often so minimal, often so lackadaisical, often so half-hearted. Like, oh, here's a little bit of this. No. Think of who we serve. He is worthy. May we recognize that our place is but at His feet. And we are but His servants, serving out of devotion and love and gratitude. And those are the things that Mary is doing. She is showing devotion, love and gratitude. Exactly. And her deed showed a person emanating with love and gratitude. What else could she do for the one who raised her brother from the dead and had the power of death and life in His very words? You see, thankfulness is a big part of our devotion to Christ. We become so thankful that we can't help but serve Him. Love is a big part of our devotion. We love Christ, so we will do anything for Him. Just like your love for your spouse or your child leads you to do something for them. So Mary's love for Jesus led her to do something for Him. She expressed love, gratitude, but she also expressed humility. Think about it. Mary offered this quality ointment. She offered a quantity of ointment. And she offered it humbly. Anointing His feet shows great humility. Think about how humble this act was. She not only anointed His feet. That would be good in and of itself, but she also wiped His feet with her hair. Talk about a humble gesture. You think about the glory of a woman as her hair, about the Bible says. And now her hair was covered with dirt from His feet and ointment. It's like she's saying, "I'm in service to You, King Jesus." She opened up herself to criticism by others, because she deemed this position and deed to be the only one worthy for her Messiah. All of these things displayed devotion in action. That's the thing. Devotion cannot be devoid of action. You can't say you love someone and never do anything for them. You can't say, "I'm devoted to Christ, but I never do anything for Him." And as we think about Mary's anointing of Jesus' feet, what do you see? You see that her devotion was driven by grace. She wasn't trying to earn God's favor. She was responding to who Jesus was and what he had done. And that's exactly what our devotion should look like. Our devotion is driven by grace. We don't serve God to earn his favor. We have it in Jesus Christ. But we serve because he has done so much for us. We love him because he first loved us. Contrast Mary's view with Judas's view of Christ. Judas loved money over Jesus. Mary loved Jesus over everything. What he saw, when Judas saw what she did, all he could think about was, this is a waste of money. Because in the back of his mind, he's thinking, Jesus doesn't deserve this. Have you recognized Christ's worth or not? If you have recognized his worth, in what ways have you expressed your devotion to him in action? Does gratitude and love come out in what you do? Are you humble as you serve him or not? A daily devotional called Today in the Word gave this illustration. In 1715, King Louis XIV of France died after a reign of 72 years. He had called himself the Great and was the monarch who made the famous statement, I am the state. His court was the most magnificent in Europe and his funeral was equally spectacular. And his body lay in a golden coffin. Orders were given that the cathedral would be very dimly lit with only this one special candle set above his coffin to dramatize his greatness. And at the memorial, thousands waited in hushed silence. And then Bishop Massillon began to speak, and slowly reaching down, he snuffed out the candle and said, only God is great. Is that your view of Christ? Do you see his infinite worth? See, our devotion comes from seeing Christ's worth. But then also our devotion involves sacrifice. In order to be devoted to something, you have to make sacrifices. So if you're devoted to the Steelers, you're going to sacrifice time and money to go to games or buy Steelers games or Steelers gear, whatever it may be. So just think about the sacrifices that Mary made here to show this devotion to her Savior. She sacrificed her ointment, which was very expensive. She sacrificed her pride as she was there humbly at his feet, wiping them with her hair. She sacrificed her image as she was opened herself up to criticism by others. And if you think about Lazarus too, he sacrificed his safety as he's right next to Jesus, the person they want to kill. And now they want to kill him too. That's the key. Devotion to Christ will take self-sacrifice. So you can't live completely for self and be devoted to Christ. It's impossible. Devotion to him will take our resources. So like Mary used this expensive ointment for him, so we use our resources for his glory. Now, many of us aren't as rich as apparently the Mary and her family were, as we see the implications of that, but we should be willing to give resources. It could be time. It could be money. It could be energy. It could be focus for him and his kingdom. You see, when Mary sees the ointment, she doesn't see it as hers to hoard and just kind of use for herself. She sees it as a gift from God that I can use to show love and devotion to Jesus. Her sacrifice of her ointment was so costly that Judas said, "This is a waste." So do you sacrifice your resources for God? It will take some self-sacrifice. It will take sometimes giving up something else. Some examples, everybody's different. Some examples could be that you cut back on some areas that aren't essential on your expenses. Like I said, everyone's different with their budgets. Maybe it's, I have to cut back some TV time, some time on my hobbies. Don't you think Mary could have used that ointment on something else for herself? Of course. It's a lot of money. But Mary didn't hesitate in giving it. She didn't say, "Well, this is going to hurt my bank account." She didn't say, "Oh, I guess I'll give this." She joyfully and willingly gave it. May we joyfully and willingly sacrifice our resources for the one who gave us everything and for the one who is worthy of it. Devotion will also take sacrificing your pride, as we will have to often humble ourselves. How many of us come to church expecting to be served, but not to serve? Like Mary, we have to be willing to serve rather than to always be served. That means it could be you be willing to do jobs that no one else wants to do. But this is the way of Christ, who washed the disciples' feet. We humble ourselves before God, and we should be willing to do jobs that are as humbly as wiping His feet with our hair. Have you sacrificed your pride lately and done some things that others see as lowly, or that maybe that others never will see? Devotion takes sacrificing our image, too. So when we truly sacrifice and devote ourselves to Him, it will make people think differently about us. Maybe our reputation at work or in the community will change, or in our families or in our friendships. We even open ourselves up to criticism, like Judas criticized Mary. And we are often be misunderstood. So some will say, "How can you waste your life in devotion to Jesus? How can you give that much money to the church when you could remodel your kitchen? How can you give up playing soccer games on Sunday to go to a church service? How could you give up a good portion of your week to serve in a ministry?" Someone devoted to Jesus is willing to sacrifice their image. So it doesn't matter what other people think of me. It doesn't matter if I'm criticized or misunderstood. What matters is I'm doing it for my Redeemer, and He sees and He knows my intentions. Look at the contrast between Mary's selfless attitude and Judas's self-focus. So Mary is this picture of this correct posture of a disciple of Jesus, while Judas is a picture of someone who is only concerned for self. He's an example of a fake or nominal Christian disciple. You see, Judas's mindset when he sees this act is he's like, "I could use some of that money. Think of all the things that I could purchase if only she sold that ointment and gave it to the disciples' money bag." And what he did was he hid his evil intentions by taking the moral high ground. It's like, "Look, Jesus, I'm more godly than Mary because I'm thinking about the poor while she's just wasting it." But deep down, he doesn't care about the poor at all. He just cares about the money. He cares about himself. And he values this ointment by its economic value. When he sees that ointment, all he sees is dollar signs. It's like if Judas were in our day, if this actor happened during our day, all he would see is a bunch of $100 bills being wiped on Jesus' feet and wasted. And he's like, I could use that money. This is how a fake or nominal Christian acts. They view things in light of what they can get out of it. So what can I get out of giving? What do I get out of serving? What do I get out of going to church? And if they deem the return on investment is not to be worth it, then they will not do it. And like Judas, they often criticize the devoted ones and act like they are more godly than they. But in reality, they are the ones who are being selfish, who are greedy and giving lies and deception. So as you think about your life, what sacrifices have you made for Christ? Are you more focused on self or on Him? Is your heart and your actions like Mary or like Judas? May we repent of those times of self-focus and turn to Christ in humble devotion. We are all like that at times, where we think about ourselves. I know in my life I've done that many a times, where I've thought about myself, not other people, not about Christ. So sacrifice your resources, your pride, your image for His sake. Why? Because He's worthy of it. Pavel Poloz, who was exiled from Russia in 1987, said this. It was really interesting. In Russia, Christians are tested by hardship. But in America, you are tested by freedom. And testing by freedom is much harder. Nobody pressures you about your religion. So you relax and are not so concentrated on Christ, on His teaching, and how He wants you to live. Have you relaxed in your faith? Or do you understand that the Christian life is a life of sacrifice, but we do it in sacrifice in love to the Almighty One who has saved us and who has redeemed us and rescued us out of the miry clay? Our devotion involves sacrifice, but also our devotion is worth it all. It is worth it, Christian. It is worth each and every sacrifice that you make, because He is worthy of it. No one else deserves our devotion but Jesus Christ. And He deserves complete devotion, not just half-hearted devotion. But also we know that He sees and He knows about our devotion to Him. Just as clearly as Jesus saw Mary wiping His feet with her hair, so He sees everything that you do for Him. Nothing gets past His sight. He sees and knows the sacrifices that you make. He knows that about your devotion to Him. He sees and knows your heart. So you can't fool Him into thinking that you're more devoted than you are. But on the flip side, it's encouraging to know that our devotion isn't hidden from His sight. That although other people don't see it, we know God sees it. And that's what matters. In all of its detail, God sees your devotion. And ultimately, we know that our Lord stands behind our devotion to Him. Remember what Jesus said to Judas when he criticized Mary? He said, "Leave her alone." And this is an encouragement that Jesus stands behind us. He's not ashamed of our lavish displays of affection. He doesn't downplay what we have done. And He's not going to let evil men have the final word like Judas. But in the end, what's He going to say? "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And oh, what a blessing to hear those words one day. "Well done, my good and faithful servant." As one of the hymns of the faith reminds us, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And Mary's selfless act shows us that Jesus is worthy of all of our devotion, and it is never wasted. A life spent in service to Christ is never wasted because He is worthy, but a life spent on yourself is wasted. Judas's life shows us this ever so clearly. What did Judas care about? Himself. All he could think about was the money that he could get in that jar of ointment, and then later on, the money that he could get by betraying Jesus. And what did it produce? Nothing but maybe momentary, fleeting glimpses of happiness and ultimately death. He never possessed true life. He never possessed true joy, but great guilt before God. Guilt so much that he went and hung himself after he betrayed Jesus. And as we think about devotion and sacrifice and it being worth it all, who else can we think about other than Jesus Christ? I would say he showed great devotion to his Father as he came to this sin-cursed world, submitted to his Father's will, and went to the cross. And that's where his devotion showed the greatest sacrifice, as he died on the cross for our sins, paying the penalty that we deserved. And his devotion and sacrifice was worth it, as it provided a way for us to be saved, and now his name is above every other name. What else can we do but show devotion to the one who has done so much for us? What else can we do but sacrifice our stuff and our time and whatever it may be for his name? So just consider your own life. What's the status of your devotion to him? In what ways could you be more devoted to him? Could it be sacrificing more time, money, energy, and focus? Could it be stepping up and serving somewhere? Could it be growing in your knowledge and love for him? Could it be sharing the gospel and speaking up more for his name? Could it be just stop bracketing it off your faith for the rest of your life, but let your faith infiltrate and show out in how you think and how you interact and what you do? I'm sure all of us could be more devoted to our God who has done so much for us. It's told of Adoniram Judson. He sweated out Burma's heat for 18 years without a furlough, 6 years without a convert. Enduring torture and imprisonment, he admitted that he never saw a ship sail away that he didn't want to jump on board and go home. When his wife's health broke and he put her on this homebound vessel, and he knew that he would not see her for 2 full years, he wrote this in a letter to his wife. He says, "I felt much disheartened and thought how pleasant it would be if we could find some quiet resting place on earth where we might spend the rest of our days together in peace and perform the ordinary service of religion. But I fled to Jesus, and all such thoughts soon passed away. Life is short. Happiness consists not in outward circumstances. Millions of Burmans are perishing. I am almost the only person on earth who has attained their language to such a degree as to be able to communicate the way of salvation. How great are my obligations to spend and be spent for Christ. What a privilege to be allowed to serve him in such interesting circumstances and to suffer for him. The heavenly glory is at hand." And then he goes on to say, "Let me pray that the trials which we respectively are called to endure may wean us from the world and rivet our hearts on things above. Soon we shall be in heaven. Oh, let us live as we shall then wish we had done. Let us be humble, unaspiring, indifferent equally to worldly comfort and the applause of men, absorbed in Christ, the uncreated fountain of all excellence and glory. Now that's devotion to Jesus. And where did he get that radical devotion from? From seeing Christ's worth. As he shows us, once he fled to Christ, his devotion was renewed, and the sacrifices were worth it. Why? Because he was absorbed in Christ, the uncreated fountain of all excellence and glory. So it didn't matter what trials he faced, or the lack of approval from men. What mattered was that he was serving the one of incalculable worth, Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful once again for this time, and thank you for this text from your holy word. Thank you for the truth that it entails. Thank you that even though it's challenging, we also find it encouraging as we're reminded of Christ's devotion to you, the Father, and what sacrifice it led him to the cross. And he did it for us. So help us to live in light of the cross, to live with gratitude, to live with love to you and humility, remembering what you have done for us. And ultimately, let us see Christ's worth. Let it drive us to greater devotion in ways that for each of us may be expressed differently, but help us to express those ways to you, the Almighty God. In Christ's name, amen.